All right, Donald Trump's been indicted. First time ever in history a former president has been charged with a crime. And it's a sealed indictment, so we don't really know exactly the testimony that was heard. We don't really know which witnesses testified. And we don't really know if there's been any new information on the case. But nonetheless, the grand jury in Manhattan has voted to indict Donald Trump. And it has, quite frankly, shaken the political landscape. That's where we bring in Todd Flood, attorney with Flood Law, who joins us this morning on the Paul W. Smith Show. Todd, always good to pick your brain. I guess the number one question I have is, you know, we can speculate, we can pontificate, we can base our opinions on the air based on what we know, but until we see what's in this indictment, it's hard to really come up with a gauge of what this represents, not only from a charges perspective, but then for what it means for Donald Trump going forward. Is there a possibility that we're going to see this indictment become unsealed?
Yeah, I think so. You'll see it when he gets arraigned. If he cooperates and comes in, I believe it's Tuesday of next week, he'll be arraigned. The indictment would be unsealed. He has the right, obviously, to see it and have the information read, the indictment read out in the public, but it'll be unsealed as soon as he gets arraigned on that indictment.
You know, Todd, I'm trying to keep an open mind to all of this. As you well know, we've heard so many law pundits and certainly political pundits talk about how flimsy this looks from the outside looking in. And with that being said, I'm trying to keep an open mind and look at this fairly. Is there potentially something in this indictment that we just don't know about right now that is of bombshell material? I'm trying to keep an open mind, as I said, because, boy, on the outside looking at it, it just doesn't look real strong.
We don't know, right? We don't know exactly because, obviously, that's kept to the vest by the prosecutor. I share your sentiments. I think this is a sad day. This is a sad day in many ways. But the fact of the matter is that the process is such that we don't know what the prosecution has. We don't know what the prosecution, what they looked at, who testified exactly in front of them, and what was disclosed. As the tea leaves have it, you know, he's charged with falsifying business records. And this, to the extent that is the charge, that's the fact that he paid back out of money. Michael Cohen, the person who has his own problems with testifying, his own credibility issues with testifying, but he paid back Michael Cohen for paying the hush money. So the fact that he paid that money back, if that took place, and they have to show it. He did it with the intent to disclose or not disclose that as being campaign finance money and to keep everything quiet. Here's the thing, Chris, is that you're getting to. This happened in 2016. The fact that it was a misdemeanor, and this is a state prosecutor, not a federal prosecutor, not a federal law, happened in 2016. They didn't bring it last year. The statute of limitations that I have to believe is running right on the heels here. They had all that time to review this. And the thought about bringing a misdemeanor charge and then hooking it up to another statute that deals with campaign finance to make it a felony seems somewhat tenuous at best. You know, the political pundits are saying, or many people from both sides, why wouldn't you wait for the Georgia case? Why wouldn't you wait for the January 6th case? Why are you bringing this case first? I think it seems odd to me that you would bring, for the first time in our history, this charge. If this is falsifying business records, mind you, no one's above the law. No one stands above the law, and prosecutors are duty bound. But the optics of this just seem horrendous to some extent to me.
What?
For a fine business record.
Yeah. Why was the grand jury utilized here instead of the DA's office just heading this up and running kind of a your more traditional investigation into something like this?
Well, clearly, this would be anytime you're going to indict a former president or someone of this stature, you're going to use a grand jury. I would imagine 99.9% of the time, because you want to make sure that this tool, the grand jury, that people are not intimidated. Witnesses are not intimidated. Witnesses are have some prophylactic measure around them, protection around them, to make sure that they don't have any issues of being worried of retaliation or the fact of the matter is that here they needed evidence, they needed witnesses, they brought it in front, and this is, I think, the best mechanism, having a citizen's grand jury for a charge like this, because of those very scary things about witness protection, or, you know, not having situations where you have a, what we do in the state of Michigan, a preliminary exam. This is just a tool that we have in our quiver and our arsenal as prosecutors, or prosecutors use it all the time when it's done properly, to make sure that that information is kept in a place in front of the citizens to make it so it's not tainted and witnesses aren't basically no-shows. Here, in this particular situation, could you imagine if they did a preliminary exam and brought this out in public? Now, there's a lot of people that are going to say that would have been the better way to go, because then you could have had the defense challenge,
right,
challenge this charge.
Hmm. Where do you think this goes from here? Obviously, he's going to, and real quick, I got 30 seconds. He'll be arraigned and all of those things. Then what happens?
I ultimately think there's going to be so many motions on this case. I have a hard time. If this is truly falsifying business records for Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen in 2016, be ready for motion practice.
Yeah.
Be ready. This case, I don't think sees a jury for a long, long time.
Got it. Todd Flood, thanks so much. Appreciate it. More next on WJR.